I'd like to invite Jonathan and Sheila to come and join me this morning, and Pastor Andrew, if you'd like to come too. That's my wife. Good to have the pastors up here. You know, this great couple and great family, actually, they're three young boys, have been on a journey with Andrew and I for about a year, I guess, and we really enjoy their company. And they have fitted into our team exceptionally well. And Jonathan is still working 6 weeks on about on the ships, and then he's home. But God's put a desire in his heart, as has and Sheila's heart, to pastor. And so they've been actually on our pastoral team unofficially for most of this year. But I want to announce today that these guys are a part of our pastoral team, but also that they are going to be our C3 Wellard campus pastors.
Yeah, that's good.
So officially, it's too late to back out. No turning back. That's good. So I know you're gonna speak, but and we've talked, but I just wanted to pray over you guys, because you know ordination will come, but that'll be a good day too. But just in a way of getting started, because you know you're gonna start preaching a bit more here, and people are gonna see you around. Won't just be Pastor Nigel speaking, or Andrea, or Helen. It'll be Jonathan and Sheila. That'll be cool, won't it? And so, and I know this is really applicable to you right now. And in times of trouble, may the Lord respond to your cry. May the God of Israel keep you safe from all harm. May he send you help from his sanctuary. You've chosen a good place. May you grant your heart's desires and fulfill all your plans. And Father, today we pray for this couple.
Thank you.
Andrea, why don't you pray?
Thank you, Father. You know, we just know that it's not by accident that our church is coming into its 20th anniversary, that we're starting to send out people to plant campuses, because, you know, it's the heart of God to see that everyone has a relationship with him. Everyone lives their best life. And so, Father, we're just so grateful that you have called this couple. Father, it's the best job in the world. It is the best job in the world to see people's lives transformed.
That's right.
Father, you know, I was just thinking this morning of just different people that have come into our church and whose lives have been dramatically impacted by you. How, God, they've gone on now to live their best life. Father, I was just thinking of Melissa Peterson, who's getting married in a few weeks. And Father, just came into church about 6 years ago. And so many others, Father, that have been dramatically transformed by your love. It is our prayer, God, that this couple will just have a deposit from you this morning. And that deposit will be to see your love shed abroad to everybody, regardless of their race, Lord, where they live, their socioeconomic status, whatever it is, Father. God, we pray, Father God, that they will just feel your love and they will just take that love and shed it abroad. Father, we pray. Lord, there's just a huge responsibility that they're feeling to fulfill your call. But God, I also pray there would be incredible joy. Incredible joy, I pray in Jesus' name. So we thank you for them, Father, and we honour them this morning publicly. Their decision to build the house of God. And Lord, they're laying down a lot to do that. But as Nigel said, we just know that as they're giving away things to build your house, you're just going to pour into their life. We thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome, guys. Give them a hand. Aren't they amazing?
Great couple.
Love them. Fantastic.
So it's my privilege this morning to have Jonathan share a message with us about the journey and his story. So can you be like me and encourage him a lot? And just, that's good. Better give him a fresh water bottle too. Thanks, Lee.
Yeah, okay, it's pretty exciting, eh? Yeah, I'm good to go. All right, so before I start, I want to thank Pastor Nigel and Andrea Sermon for giving me this opportunity to preach today and share a little bit of our journey. Now, God has blessed His church with great senior ministers. So Nigel and Andrea have not only been great mentors to me and Sheila, they've also been good friends, leaders that we look up to and hope to be like someday. And guys, your journey, right? What God has used you both to do, like this facility, God sent you guys out to Fremantle 20 years ago to establish His kingdom out here, and what He's done with your life and your journey. Now, this has been a significant impact to both me and Sheila and what we have chosen to do. So these guys are awesome, and we're so glad to be part of their team. Yep, that's great, isn't it? Let's give them a big hand. All right, can we get the first slide up, AJ? Thanks. All right, so just a bit of an intro, right? Most of you know that I used to play the acoustic guitar for worship. I used to be part of this great worship team. And that used to be my spot right there. And always hidden behind Jared and Eunice, you know. Let's go there and have a look, okay? So, yeah, this was me right here. This was my spot. And you know what? This was a pretty cool spot to be at, okay? I was in my element, in my zone. I was sort of like doing my thing here, you know, on my acoustic guitar, strumming, making sweet music with the band. And I'm sure you guys, Musos, Shane, and Sandy, you guys would agree, right? This is like a great spot to be at. Now, this was like my comfort zone, okay? And what has changed? You know, what has brought me out of here to up there in front of all of you guys preaching today? Let's see how many steps that is, okay? One, three, four. So what, 6 steps? Doesn't seem like much, right, from there to here. But, you know, guys, these are really big steps, okay? It's like a huge move out of my comfort zone. But it's a good move, I reckon. You know, it's a good move for God, okay? So now this brings me to our story, our journey. So a long, long time ago in a land far away. Okay, no, not far away, really, actually. Sheila and I, we're originally from Malaysia. So we grew up there, and I'm the son of a preacher, man, okay? My dad was a pastor. He used to pastor a church, and I have the privilege of my mom with us here today. You know, mom is... mom is here to watch me preach. No pressure. So, yeah, you know, we grew up in the church, and it was exciting times. There were the joys, the struggles in church. So, yeah, we've been there in church, and my father used to pastor the church where Sheila and her family worshipped at. So we met at 14 at youth group, okay, both me and Sheila. And Sheila was one of those girls, all right, you know, who used to do her own thing. See, I was like 14, I used to play the guitar, and I was like, I had this group of girls behind me, really. And, you know, when I played the guitar, and they all used to be around me sort of thing, but she was the only girl who never really paid much attention. She was like, you know, she sort of like was doing her own thing, and I was like, what's up? You know, here am I playing the guitar. And so I said, there must be something different about her. You know, she's kind of unique. So I decided to try and win her over, sort of thing. I took it as a challenge, okay? And guess what? 20 years later, this is where we are. You know, now she sings a different tune. You know that song? The Preacher Man song, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. That's Sheila's tune right now. That's her groove, actually. So yeah, a little bit about myself. Okay, as a young boy, I had a cousin. Okay, he was a seafarer, a captain at sea, actually. And, you know, he used to go out to work at sea and used to come back with all these great stories about his life at sea, his adventures out there. And being a young boy, you get kind of influenced. You're like, you know, wow, this is pretty great. You know, you get to go and travel the world. And whenever he came back, it was like great to hear all these stories. So I wanted to be like him. I wanted to be a captain. I wanted to travel the world. And he done quite well for himself. So I told myself at the age of 19, I embarked on a sea-going career. And I wanted to be a ship's captain and see the world. So today I still work at sea. I'm a navigational officer on the ships. So I'm the first officer or chief officer on board the vessel, second in command of the ship. So similar to like Pastor Nigel, he's the captain of this church. I'm sort of like his first mate. But you've done really well because you have a few first mates. You got Pastor Charlie, Pastor Helen. You know, most ships, the captain only gets one first mate. So you've done great. So yeah, that's a bit of my story and that's what I do for a living. Now, Sheila also left home at 19, okay? She wanted to see the world. She wanted to travel. So she joined Singapore Airlines as an air stewardess. And she did her traveling for 2 years. And after she finished her traveling, she moved to the U.S. to study nursing. So I was sailing. Sheila was studying nursing in the U.S. And we were in a long-distance relationship pretty much, you know. And after a couple of years, this was getting pretty hard for us, you know. I mean, like, long-distance relationship. We needed to sort of settle down. So we decided to tie the knot in December 2006 and get married. Now, as part of my career progression up the ranks, I had to take a year off from sailing and continue my education in college. So what I did was I was planning to tie this up with, you know, after get married, spend the first year off in college together with Sheila. So I applied to the Maritime College in Singapore. That's where I actually did all my early training. So I applied to a Maritime College there, and Singapore was going to be an easy option for us because we lived in Kuala Lumpur. Singapore is 4 hours south. I had some family in Singapore as well. So getting married for the first time, moving to Singapore, would be easy for us. We would be comfortable there around our family and all that stuff. But that was our plan. It would be a great setup. But guess what? God had his own plans too. So I applied to the Maritime College, and my application got rejected, you know. And application got rejected, and I actually applied a year in advance, okay. So it's not like I did a last-minute thing. I applied a year in advance to go to college, but they rejected it. So my next option, there's a Maritime College in Australia, the Australian Maritime College in Launceston, Tasmania. So, but even that did not work out. So I was like, God, what are you trying to do with us? You know, not Singapore, not Malaysia, not Singapore, not Australia. Where are we going to go? And it wouldn't sit too nice. Let's see, I just got married, right? It wouldn't sit too nice if I had to run back to sea. You know, it wouldn't be good. So I had no choice. I had to go to college. So what we did was we just trusted God. We prayed. And you know, by chance, I found out about the Maritime College in Fremantle. And I applied, and presto, application approved. So God was directing us to Perth, hey? We listened to the prompting within us and made arrangements to come here. 8 years ago, February 2007, 2 months after we got married, we arrived in Perth to start our lives. So God had brought us here. Can we have the first slide, please? All right, so if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. We're just going to look at the life of Abraham a little bit and see how this all ties up, okay? So my first point, develop an obedient heart to unlock God's plan for your life. Let's say that together. Develop an obedient heart to unlock God's plan for your life. Now, in Genesis chapter 12, God somewhat did the same thing to Abraham. If you read verse 1, we see God saying to Abraham, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you." Now, God did not appear to me and Sheila and say, "Get out of Malaysia, I'm taking you to some unknown place that you don't know about." God gently directed us to come to Perth, okay? Now, the important thing for us to note here is what did Abraham do when God had given him these instructions? In verse 4, if we continue to read verse 4, we see that Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. He was obedient to the voice of God and God's will in his life. The question is, are we being obedient to God, what God wants us to really do today? in what areas of our lives do we need to be obedient to God's voice? Okay, do we need to spend more time in prayer, or do we need to spend more time reading the Bible? Maybe we have a sinful habit that God wants us to give up. Husbands and wives, do we speak kindly to each other? Parents, are we speaking life to our children? Maybe God wants you to stretch yourself financially and give more into His kingdom. Do we volunteer in church as often as we should? Now, Abraham was willing to follow God's plans for his life, even if it meant leaving all that was familiar to him and going to an unknown territory. Now, we had taken the same steps by coming out to Australia. Pastor Nigel and Pastor Andrea, just imagine if they did not take these steps 20 years ago, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't have this facility, you know. So we have to develop an obedient heart to unlock God's plan for our lives, just as Abraham did. Now, just imagine if Abraham was not obedient, he would have not been the father of many nations. Somebody else would have taken his place, right? So that's a little bit of how we sort of ended up here in Perth. Now, we just go on to see in the slide 2, please. Okay, my second point. Seek God's kingdom first so that He can transform your life. Right. So what did Abraham do once he was in this new land? If we go on to read further in Genesis 12, verse 7, it says that he built an altar to the Lord. Okay. The Lord appeared to Abraham and said, "To your offspring I'll give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now, God had given Abraham the land of Canaan, okay, was giving him this big, huge place and all this land. But what was the first thing he did? He did not throw a big feast and celebrate the fact that, wow, God has given me all this land. What he chose to do was to build an altar, and he chose to honor God, okay, to honor and to acknowledge God. So this brings me to the next part of our journey. So we came to Perth in February 2007, and this was the start of the mining boom. I'm sure a lot of you remember, like, things were getting busy. A lot of people were coming into Perth. And so we just rocked up here with two suitcases and all our life savings, which was nothing much, to be honest, nothing much, just two suitcases. And our first year in WA was riddled with many obstacles, okay? There's a lot I can't really share. There's too many to mention here, but I'm sure at some other point I'll be able to share with all of you. Now, during our early days in Perth, we found a church close by to where we were living. It was a small community church. There were like about 30 to 50 people attending on a weekly basis. So we came to Perth, we found this small church, and this being a small church, the church had its needs, okay? They needed volunteers, they needed people to help out. So as soon as they found out that I played the guitar and Sheila played the keyboards, we became part of the worship team. And not long after that, we became the worship team. Okay, two-man, husband and wife band sort of thing, week in, week out. We also got involved in other ministries in the church. We had an outreach ministry where we used to distribute bread to the needy people around the area. And we were part of that outreach. So on Friday nights, when most couples chose to go out on date nights and that sort of stuff, both me and Sheila went around knocking on people's doors. And we were called the bread people, so we go and knock on the doors and like, "Bread people, bread people." And, you know, as corny as it sounds, bread people, right? But many people actually, quite a few people came to church from those bread people ministries. They came and worshipped with us in the church. And some of them are friends with us up to today. So, yeah, that was good. Now, at this point of time, Sheila was the only one working. I was a full-time student at the college. So being an international student, the tuition fees are really high. The rent was really expensive. And the pressures of life were getting to us. Now, this was supposed to be our honeymoon year, okay? Our first year of marriage. But boy, was it tough, okay? And to add to all that, the commitments that we were doing in church. But you know what? God was stretching us during that time, right? He was growing us and shaping us for His work. So when Abraham was in the new land that God had given him, he built an altar and called on God's name. He put God first in his life. Now, when we came to Australia, we chose to find a church and get involved. So back to my point again. Seek God's kingdom first so that he can transform your life. Okay, so that brings me to my third point. God will establish the right in your life when you choose to be obedient and seek him first. Now, if you follow steps 1 and 2, God will establish the right in your life. So after, what did Abraham do? After building his altar and worshiping God, in verse 8, if we continue to read, we see that from there he went towards the hills east of Bethel and he pitched his tent. Now God gave him this new land. God gave Abraham this new land for him to pitch his tent, all right? God established him for his obedience. Now this takes us to the last part of my story, actually. So after 1 year in Australia, it became very clear to us that God wanted us to remain in this country. And I just completed my course, so I finished my studies, and I had to get a job. So Sheila was still the only one working at that point of time, and I knocked on every door in the shipping, all the shipping companies. I sent my CVs all out, and nothing really opened up, nothing at all. And at the same time, all the guys I studied with in college, all my batchmates, they were getting all the jobs, you know, fantastic jobs, fantastic job packages. And these guys were like, you know, boasting about their jobs. And I was really upset. You know, I was like, God, what's going on here? You know, we left Australia to come out. We left Malaysia to come to Australia. You know, we have been obedient. We faithfully served in your church. But where was your favor? You know, where had we gone wrong? Had we done something wrong in our walk? Or, you know, what have we done wrong? So we sort of through that uneasiness that I was feeling, I sort of, both Sheila and I, we continued to pray and submit this need to God that he will open up a job for me at some point. So one day, after 3 long months of waiting, okay, one day, I got a call from 2 companies. I got a call, 1 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon, offering me work. So can you imagine? After 3 long months of waiting, white noise, okay? Nothing at all. And one day, I get a call from 2 companies. Now, what do you reckon? Who's that? That has to be God's work, right? God's favor on our lives. Because we chose to be obedient, we chose to seek him first, right? You know, God's favor was on our life. And those 2 jobs as well, one was a seagoing job and one was a land-based job. So I chose the land-based job. I chose land-based job because we were new to Perth and we wanted to sort of settle down here. And both me and Sheila settled into life here. So I went for the land-based job. And God gave us a choice. Eh? He didn't say, those 2 jobs, Jonathan, you have to go out to sea. So God was really good in that sense. And after 2 years that we have moved to Australia, we managed to save up enough of a down payment to buy our own house. So after 2 years. So now, this brings me to my point. Just as God had given Abraham this new land to pitch his tent, God had established us in Australia, okay? So what are our needs today? Now, some of us here may be looking for jobs, maybe a change in career. You may be looking for a new home, a new place to pitch your tent, just like Abraham did. You may be seeking for some direction in your life. Maybe you have pain in your body that needs healing. Maybe there's a broken relationship that needs God's intervention. Now, when you put God first, God will establish the right in your life, okay? Now, just to conclude, okay, in conclusion, to see how did we actually end up through all this journey of ours coming to Perth, how did we end up at this point in our lives? So, beginning of this year, we felt a stirring within us, and we needed to step up and take a leap of faith, because being Impact 2015, that was the common theme of that our church had. So we had to step up and take a leap of faith and do more for God's kingdom. We felt this within us. So what I did was I approached Pastor Nigel and I began a mentorship under him. And it was during one of the sessions that we spoke about the Wellard Church plant. So, you know, just one of the sessions, it was not like a plan that I had behind my mind and stuff. And after this discussion, this led to the possibility of us being campus pastors. So I went home and shared this exciting news with Sheila. And we prayed about it to seek God's counsel on the matter, okay? we didn't think too much about it at that point. You know, we just said we're going to pray and trust God. Now, during that period of time, one verse that actually stood out to me at that point was Matthew 9:37. The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Okay? So as we prayed, the voice of God was clearer. And we could see God's vision for our lives as pastors of this church. Now, our whole journey in Australia began to make a lot of sense. From the very beginning, God had a plan to bring us here, okay? He had a plan. Now, just to put this into perspective, right? Think about it. If a great job opportunity presented itself, right? Great salary, great benefits, the employer of your choice. I'm sure we would go for it. We'll say, yes, I'm going to go for it. And if that job fell in our lap, it'd be great. Now, for some of us who are business people here, if you had a great business deal that came your way, going to bring in big returns, I'm sure you guys put your hand up and go for this business deal. Now, when it comes to God's business, a fantastic opportunity has presented itself to start His church and sow God's seed in the life of others. So this is our time to rise up for God. This is both Sheila and I. This is our time to stand up for God. And we have decided to follow Jesus. Okay, we have decided to follow Jesus. We have the third slide, please. The final slide. So yeah, there's no turning back at this point. He has called us to do this work. Now, the three steps that we have taken to reach this point in our lives, we chose to be obedient to God's calling. We chose to seek Him first. And He has started this transformation in our lives. And we know that He will establish us in Wellard to do His work. So that's a little bit of our story and how we got here and how God has brought us here. You know, I may not have all the answers to what's going to happen in the future, but we do know that God has led us to this point in our lives, and we're going to continue to trust God. We're going to pray, and we're going to, you know, the church, I know the church is going to be behind us. You guys are going to be praying for us and supporting us in this new venture as well. So with that being said, maybe we could bow down our heads, and I'm just going to pray, all right? We get some music, Bremer. All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank You for this time, Lord Jesus. I thank You for this day, Lord God. Father, we just thank You for the things that You're going to do in our lives, Lord Father. I thank You for the things that You're going to do in this church, Lord Jesus. And Father God, You are a great God, Lord Jesus. And Father, let Your will, let Your purposes be done in our lives, Lord Father. All of us who are sitting here today, Lord Father, let us have a transformation of our hearts, Lord God. Let us be obedient to the silent prompting. It may be a loud prompting. It may be a silent prompting, O Lord. But let us be obedient to that voice, O Lord Jesus, in our hearts, O Lord Father. And let us seek You first in all that we do, O Lord Jesus. Because when we put You first as King of our lives and King of our hearts, Lord Jesus, You will transform us, O Lord God. And You will unlock the great plans that You have for our lives, Lord Jesus. So we just thank You, Lord God, for this day. I thank You for everyone gathered here, O Lord Father. And I pray, Lord Father, that You be with them as they go out into the world, into the week ahead, that You give them a good week, O Lord Jesus. We thank You, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen. So we have an information session. Thank you. Yeah, we encourage you to stay after 12 o'clock for the information session. We're going to explain a little bit more about Wellard, and it'd be good. Thank you so much. You guys have been great.